Your job isn't to get hired. It's not like a you're not trying to get married after the first date, right? It's like,
yes, like dating. I love that. Your job,
right? It's to get to the next date. It's to get to the next interview. It's to learn more. It's to educate the person in front of you on your value. It's to educate them on your expertise. It's to educate them on like how you can contribute to the role, to the company, how you can help the person that you're speaking to help them solve their problems that are in front of them and make their life easier. So you're there to educate and to get to know and to explore, because don't you want to learn a little bit more about where you might be spending 8 hours a day for like a while, at least a year and a half, maybe? Probably.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Collab Collective podcast, where we talk about relevant topics and current events on anything tech related. I'm your host, Josh Lowe, and in this episode on the Fireside Chat, we talk about how to land the job you love. For some of us, looking for a job can be a daunting task, and the job application process can feel like going through the gauntlet. So today, we have Julie Blackburn on the show to share some tips to help us navigate through the process. Julie is the talent acquisition lead at TCAT Private Equity, HotelFurniture.com, and Neon. And she emphasizes the importance of bringing a more human-centered approach when it comes to interviews. There's a lot of nuggets of wisdom in this episode, so please enjoy this conversation on how to land the job you love. Maybe we can start if you can share a little bit about yourself, like what you do, why you're in this space. That'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. When I think of who I am, what I do, there's a lot of aspects, I think. So a good starting point probably is start with my values, because that really is the foundation of why I do many things and what makes up who I am, which a lot to do with connection, building connection and community, adventure. So exploring, having new things in front of me, talking to new people, and then well-being. So very much all about kind of the whole self and showing up with a really conscious kind of foundation and understanding like myself better from, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So that really helps drive who I am and what I do. Been an athlete most of my life. That's really shaped who I am. Played volleyball at a high level, coached for 10 years. It's really set the foundation from that competitive edge. Wow. And also really driven results and really kind of accomplishing things as a collective, and achieving greatness with a team, with diversity, and going through that whole aspect and playing at quite a high level teaches you a lot of things. So I always reflect back on that because it's shaped me. And then in my 9-to-5, you know, like what you said, overseeing talent acquisition at TCAT Private Equity and supporting Neon right now and HotelFurniture.com, two startups that are under the TCAT family.
Okay.
Which is, you know, fantastic being able to have the diversity. Because I like new and I like new things, and startup space is totally up my alley. You know, Neon's a product company building first of their kind digital products that matter, and co-creating ventures with TCAP. And then Hotel Furniture is an online platform in very analog industry, which is the hotel space, and helping bring technology into the design and procurement for new hotels and room builds and renovations all across North America. So That's really fun and exciting. Two different companies, two very much in the startup space. It's when I think about why I'm in talent acquisition, it does come back down to aligning with my values and my natural talents as well, which I think are really important. You can have values and you can have things that you're great at. And hopefully when you put those together, you really can create a really great kind of place to land and enjoy your day-to-day, your life and where your work fits into that. You know, I'm really extroverted. I like putting people at ease. I like connecting. And so when I think about talent acquisition, that's like, I talk to new people every day. I'm able to build connection with them and really, you know, provide a great experience and just get to know people. That drives me. I'm often the person that knows like everyone in the coffee shop and awesome. Everyone around my corner. So very much aligns with who I am. And so I think, you know, that's probably why I would be into this space. I mean, back to coaching, back in the day, one of the dads of the girls I coached, he said, I want you to come work for me. And that was a recruitment agency because he saw something in me that probably he could see I might fit into this world. And he was right. And that was Peter Reek at Smart Savvy and Associates, marketing boutique recruiting firm here in Vancouver.
So, that's how you got into talent acquisition.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I obviously have evolved since then. Been in London. I lived in London for 2 years. I was in the south of France for a while. I lived in Mexico for a couple of years and been able to also get global experience and which has also played to that adventure piece, that values piece. Right. And able to really, be able to do what I love and do what I do best in a variety of different places and different people. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Sounds like you have a hunger for like tasting new things and exploring. I even like, just to add on to your resume, I know like you have experience with Lululemon and Kitten Ace. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit of like how you transitioned from those companies and even like moving different countries? Like what was your, your hunger for that?
Yeah, I mean, Lululemon, Steph Corker Irwin of Corker Collective. She's amazing. She was my boss at Lululemon at the time. Culture-driven company. Loved it. I wanted to do a little bit at that time. It was one of my first jobs. Really great introduction into like values-based business. Mm. And even though at the time it was 10 years old, it really operated like a startup in terms of not a lot of process. And it's definitely wasn't as structured. It probably is today and is as much of a behemoth it is today. But, it was really interesting to be very goal driven, very values driven. And that's really what set the tone for me in the rest of my career. And I really appreciated that about Lululemon. And the pace and the people there was a great starting point. I wanted to get into customer service and account management and kind of learn a little bit more about business per se. So I went to Segoy and I did some, worked in apparel store, did some account management, and then fell my way into tech, working at Recon Instruments, which was acquired by Intel, and went from customer service and transitioned back into people and was like people and culture manager and doing recruiting. And because that's really what drives me and like the people of the business. I really love connecting with them and supporting them. Mm-hmm. And so I got back into that. And then, you know, I made the transition to London just because I wanted to do something new, wanted to live abroad. I went without a job. I worked for Kitten Ace in London, but I didn't get that. I didn't go there for that. I actually knew the HR director from my time at Segoy, and that's what speaks to having great relationships and maintaining them over the years is because I got hired at Kitten Ace 5 months into me moving to London because of a relationship I had that I had built 5 years prior.
Wow.
And so, and in Vancouver, and now I'm in London working for a Vancouver-based company that is very much aligned with the Lululemon experience I had back, you know, so it all kind of connects. It's a small world. It really is. So it goes to show you the impact of relationships. Great startup. My goodness. We are a dream team in London. Accomplished so much. Opened 3 stores in 2 months.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was a brand no one knew, and we made a big splash, and it was really fun. Very fast and furious, as you probably know. I really learned a lot there actually as well, and had a great leader in the HR space. She was an HR director in the Arcadia Group, and so just was really beneficial. I had been most of my time making it up as I go, and kind of in that startup world, you often kind of end up figuring it out as you go. So it was the first time I really had a true HR leader. And so I was able to really leverage her expertise and knowledge in that space. So that was awesome.
Wow. That's awesome. I definitely want to touch on your experience on like just the different size companies from startups to medium size to more corporation. But before we get to that, I want to start talking about the whole scene in COVID. Like, how has things changed even in terms of like the hiring process? Because I know a lot of our listeners, they're, you know, looking for new opportunities out there. Maybe you can shed some light on you know, how the whole landscape has changed based on your experience so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, everything's moving online. So we pretty much know that like a lot of companies are starting to, in terms of like the interview process, they're not having people in the office. I know we certainly aren't. All of our interviewing is on like Google Meets or Zoom or whatever platform works, but it's all going online. So that's changing. I think also like even starting with the job descriptions and job applications, this is something that came up for me in COVID. Like we have evergreen postings on our site, meaning we have postings that we like to leave there so that people can apply. And we always want to meet great people and like a product designers and product, you know, product owners or design, project managers. But I really felt the need to, like with COVID happening, I was just like, oh, I don't want to have these up. If people are going to feel really stressed and losing their jobs and they're getting laid off, like I want to make sure that they know that these roles, like we're not actually hiring right now. So I didn't want people to feel like they're getting their hopes up or they were being bamboozled. I wanted to be really transparent. So like changing up the communication and around that, that was important. But I think there's just this big shift to online and even like the onboarding process. I think what's happening too, more companies are maybe being more open to hiring elsewhere, to hiring, you know, not local, and being a little bit more open to that. So there is opportunity in that space. So I think from that perspective, that's, I would say those are like the biggest changes, in terms of policies and the way that we're like interacting with people. Even like from a presentation perspective, like having people present as presentation to a Zoom group, very difficult.
Yeah. So let's get into that, because like I know we talked about it off air, but like Zoom interviews are like it's a thing now, right? And and I guess now are you interviewing more people from like international locations? Do you see an uptick on that?
Yeah, I mean, for us, not so much. I mean, this is very role dependent, and you know, we're operating under the assumption like when this COVID, when it ends, or when it, you know, starts to change and into the positive, you know, whatever, we don't know when that looks like, but we're still going based on as if we were pre-COVID, and for our roles. So if we were happy to have someone remote for a role before, then we would continue doing that right now. But in terms of, we're still not having local candidates come to the office. So local candidates are still doing interviews all via Zoom.
Right.
Or Google Meet or whatever that platform is. And so, you know, when I think and I talk to some candidates and I speak to some people about, you know, even delivering presentations and even having interviews on Zoom, like it is another skill. It's another piece of anxiety if, you know, you're naturally better in person or if you don't really particularly aren't extroverted or you're, you know, depending on what the role is and what's required of you. Maybe actually it's a good test for some candidates to see, okay, this is the reality. Are you able to engage with us online? Because that's the reality of business right now. So being able to be engaging and learning the skills to do that is going to go a long way as well.
I see.
Has
your onboarding process been different since moving remote?
Great question. I think, so as I was saying, we are still, like for the candidates that we're hiring locally, because we have way lower capacity in our office, like we have a 55 person or 60 person, like capacity to 100%. We only allow 15 people to come into the office and great protocols and clean out of everything. But because of that, so we'll have onboarding in the office if they become an employee and they signed on. But we are preparing and we do have things set up so that we are on board. We're ready to onboard remotely if needed. And if someone wasn't comfortable coming in, that's absolutely fine. We wouldn't ask one of our employees to come in if they weren't comfortable. It's not mandatory by any means. So yeah, we have different ways of setting up meetings. We have Slack and we're all a very collaborative bunch already. So it's not a huge transition to do that. It isn't as like warm and fuzzy. You don't have that personal face-to-face connection. That's just the reality though. And so what can we do is like, we can just make sure that we're still doing our town halls and we're introducing and having them introduce themselves and be integrated and set up coffees. We have donuts through Slack. I don't know if you know, like the donut coffees, right?
Oh, okay.
That's automatic coffees with people in the office.
Great.
People you don't normally talk to. Yeah. Automatically. And so there's different things that we're doing to kind of engage with people. And we have like socials and things. We do our best to make sure we're still connecting with our people.
Got it. Yeah. I think we're really fortunate to be in a tech space where really not much has changed. It's just a few adjustments. So
yeah. Very different than like a blue collar, or like, you know, worker where they're not normally used to talking to anyone on a video or on a computer. Like you show up the day that, you know, you come by and you have an interview on the spot sometimes, or even like in retail, like it's super different landscape. Gotcha. In that regard. But for tech and, you know, some of these jobs are office based, it's already there. So
like I think some of our audience members, they want to find out, like curious to find out what's it like to work at different companies of like different sizes, like what are their expectations? Can you shed some light on that, like from a startup versus large corporation?
I mean, when you think about even startups, so you can have a large company kind of act like a startup, because that's been my experience. So it's almost like, are they established? Are they process driven? Like in terms of, you think like that large corporation that where there's a lot of roles and you have people doing very specific jobs versus a startup where you come in and it's kind of clear what you're doing, but you actually are doing quite a lot of other things that we didn't think about. And that's kind of, if you're good at doing your talent and hiring, people know that from the beginning.
Okay.
So I think from a startup point of view, or a very entrepreneurial environment, we can say, I think definitely you need to align with the problem that you're solving a lot, because you're gonna get pushed and stretched, and sometimes it's gonna feel like you're really working at a different pace. You're accomplishing probably what you would in 3 months, maybe in a year, at other places that are like a lot slower and more process oriented and have things in depth. So you're going to be going. So if you're not really tied to the end goal or the purpose of the vision, you're going to feel way more exhausted, and you're not going to have as much gas in the tank to really get you to the end if you're not really motivated by the problem that you're solving, or like the purpose of why you're there every day. And that's really big. You need to be curious. You need to be able to dig deeper, challenge the status quo. You need to have grit and resilience. I think being able to flex and keep up with the pace of a dynamic environment, and also that humility piece is huge, because what happens a lot in startups is like, this week we're hammering out this work, we're pushing for this, and then next week the business direction has changed, and our priorities have changed, and the goals have changed, and all that work you just did is now not being implemented. So you really have to be egoless and be able to let go of the work that you're producing and take it as learning. So that requires a lot of humility to do that, and not being attached to the outcome. What else can I say about a startup environment? I mean, really,
just being very agile, hey, and just
move, totally. Go, you got to be able to go with the flow and be dynamic, and also being able to start stuff. Like, you have to be a starter. You have to be a builder.
Okay.
You're building. Oftentimes, you're building from something that doesn't exist. There might be no institutional knowledge. You have to be able to go and find out. That's the curiosity piece, but also just build and start from scratch often. Whereas in a larger company, like, do you like stability? Do you like doing one thing where you have this one thing that you can perfect and you have the time to do that? And that's absolutely fine. It's basically making sure that you know that about yourself. Like, are you a maintainer? Do you like keeping things going? Or are you a builder? Do you want to go from scratch? Do you want to stay in your lane? Or do you want to change lanes a lot and put your hands in other cookie jars, right? So it's all right. All of it's good. And if you are that person that is a little bit more reserved and or risk averse, or in a sense, that's not a negative thing. It's just, if you're more structured and, you know, maybe that environment is better for you. Mm. Also what happens is, depending on like you in bigger companies, there's more people and the teams are larger. So oftentimes you can also come in and learn mm-hmm. on the job. So there's more opportunity to come in junior and work your way up in a different way than you would in a startup. Sometimes startups have people that are in the role because they grew with the company and like no one taught them, so they did it by themselves. Whereas another bigger company, maybe you want to learn from someone who's an expert in this, has been doing it for a while. So right. that's why you're going there, and you're going to put in some time because you really want to learn this skill from this person or this manager or the way they do it as an organization. So something to consider. And it, you know, and if you have that in your mind, then that's absolutely great. That's a great strategy. Cause that can also help you get into a startup later where they need that expertise, because you can't, how do you get experience when you don't have experience, right? It's that age old thing. So that's how you can do that. Even though your goal and dream is to be at that place, if you need the experience, go get it and go back. Mm.
So it almost sounds like the startup environment, they're probably looking for someone who has a little bit more skills or actually are willing to wear like multiple hats. So would you say, you know, from your experience hiring for startup companies, they're looking for someone with a little bit, you know, more experience, not as junior? Would that be true?
It totally depends. So I think it depends on how big the team and how it's set up mm. and what the expertise they have. So, you know, take for instance, a development team that, you know, has now the capacity to take on a junior person because we have built up the team. It's probably maybe the largest team in the organization. So there's some capacity to actually train a more junior person. Whereas maybe you're opening a new function, you don't have the opportunity to hire someone junior. You need that person to come in and be the subject matter expert, have done it before, mm-hmm. can flex that muscle. We're looking for that person to tell us and inform us and to teach us and to complement the team with that skill set. So in that regard, that's where you would need to have more expertise and more experience. That's not always the case, because sometimes if it's really startup-y, or if it's like a nonprofit, or you know, or if there's just we need some help, like people are willing to work with someone that's more junior, and okay. and that's okay, because maybe they don't have the resources to even pay a large salary, mm. or you know, like there's a lot of variables. So if you're talking like small startups, sometimes you can be a little bit less experienced, or you know, you've gone through a boot camp, or you've just graduated, or there is room for that. You just kind of have to go out and find those people and find the people that are hiring that. But so I guess to answer your question, it totally depends on
right.
the function set up, what they need, where they're at with that.
Got it. Yeah. There's a lot of different types of startups out there. So they can range in different, mm-hmm. different structures and sizes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's really just important to do some digging and some information gathering and find out. Mm. And you know, we can talk about that in a bit, but that's really important for anyone looking right. for their next gig. Yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, I've heard that Neon's hiring process is actually pretty great compared to others. I was wondering if you could share a bit about, yeah, that process, just to kind of paint a picture of a good example.
So, that's great to hear. yeah, and I really feel grateful. And, you know, when I talk to candidates and they've given me that feedback, I think for me and for us as a business, like we're people first in all aspects, mm. you know, like from TCAP, the TCAP family, that filters down into the businesses that are under that family. So that goes for sure for Neon, which I've done a lot of hiring for and interviewing for. Comes down to that people first. We're very considerate. Like we care about the people inside of our business, the employees. We're going to do the same thing outside. And I'm not saying I'm absolutely 100% perfect, but I do really focus on being considerate, showing up, being transparent, checking in. Like if you think about candidates going through the interview process, it's probably not their only job that they're interviewing for. Maybe it is, maybe all their eggs are on one basket. You just don't know what's happening behind the scenes. And right. it's important to understand that if I was a job seeker, what are they going through? Like, am I getting back to them in a timely manner? Am I updating them? I have a commitment that I don't always hit, but I'm pretty close, you know, to checking in with the candidates that are in the pipeline that I've either interviewed or phone screened or video screen, I guess you could say, to check in weekly at the end of the week, or maybe it's on a Monday or Friday, whatever that is, to let them know, hey, you're still in the process. I haven't forgotten about you. You're important. We value your time and your effort, but we're still wherever we're at. And I give them a bit of an update and then, and just to check in, and as well as helping them be prepared, mm-hmm. as well as us having structured interviews, so that I do my best to help set up our interview teams, like our hiring teams. So people that are interviewing our candidates with, you know, where they, you know, their background, I've just kept getting them like the hiring kit, essentially like a resume,
okay.
things that we've talked about already, where they come from, so that they can go in, feel prepared to talk to this person and have very specific questions and areas that we're looking to probe into. I think that's important in understanding. You want to actually get to know the candidate, and you want the candidate to feel like they've actually been assessed, mm-hmm. their skills, their values, who they are. That's really important. And so I think that's a really important piece. And then also taking the time to give feedback. I can't believe this. It shocks me, actually. You know, I call people that we've interviewed. Some people I phone screen, I'll email them. That's my commitment. But someone's interviewed with us, so they've had two conversations, mm-hmm. at least. You know, I take the time to phone them. I ask and to give them feedback, and to give them hopefully valuable feedback. And most of the feedback they said has been really helpful, and I'll be transparent about that. Mm. And, you know, I've asked for feedback for us, because for me, it's not a one-way street here. Like, I want to get better. I want us to get better as a hiring team, whatever, you know. I love getting the feedback. Feedback is feedback. It's not good or bad. It's information for you to take and decide what to do with it. And so I really want to, you know, involve them in how do we get better as well. And we've taken some feedback and improved, you know, our process and considerations, and yeah. So
awesome.
That's a long-winded answer, but those are some of the things that come to mind.
are there, I was wondering if you can share a little bit about, I guess, from the company's point of view. I mean, we talk about the human side, and I think that's more on the applicant perspective, but like what, mm-hmm. like when you're representing the company, what like strategic things you guys are looking for as you, you know, screen applicants? Could you share a little bit about that?
Good question. I think, so looking at a person's potential for growth and where they're going to, what stream they're going to grow into. Mm-hmm. Also from a business perspective, our recruiting and our hiring is dependent on what we have in the pipeline.
Okay. Yeah.
So because we partner with people, right? We're not building our own products. We're building products with people or companies, whether that's Fortune 100 companies or startups. So it's sometimes it's really challenging to project our hiring, because it's super dependent on what the funnel looks like and how close, and how are we 85% going to close this deal? And then all of a sudden we're five people behind and I need to hire. So.
Oh, okay.
The biggest thing for me from a strategic point of view, it's more like, how do I continue to have conversations with great people even when we're not having an immediate opening?
Mm.
So from that point of view, keeping the pipeline going and healthy and still keeping the conversations going, that's my strategic piece in terms of from a talent acquisition point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we always want to look to hire people that are that do align with our values, because those people are going to stay,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to enjoy what they do and feel connected, which means like a more happier person.
Right.
And they're going to show up to work differently than if someone didn't really care, or they don't really like startups, or they don't really, the dynamic environment isn't actually suited to them, even if they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go through, like, that's why our interviews are set up, to understand people better, because that's strategically what we are looking for.
Right.
Yeah. Does that answer your question? Hopefully.
Yeah. And I know, like, you're talking, like, touching more on the human approach side, because it's tricky, right? Like, when you're interviewing someone, they want to they put their best foot forward, and so they have this front and everything's polished and it's really good. So how, I'm curious, okay, like, yes, how do you, like, get the real personality?
My magic.
So what's your secret? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just people, and you talk about how, you know, we just want to be real and be, like you said, humble and just be authentic. So I don't know, do you guys have any tricks on, like, getting people to that point?
I think for sure, like, such, it's a great question. I mean, this is my bread and butter, to be honest. And this is why I think, and I talked to this about my hire, I talked to my hiring managers about this, in terms of, you know, not that they do this, but it's something to think about when you think about interviewing. Like, we're not there to trick people. We are there to break down the walls so we can get to know the person and how they would show up every day. Because yes, when you think about what this person is entering in, it's like stress environment. You know, you're like, limbic brain is going crazy and you're adrenaline and you're like, you're not operating at how you normally would if you're not comfortable with interviewing. And if you think about how many interviews you have all the time, it's not that often. It's once every couple of years, maybe you have to do a bunch of interviews. It's not something you're doing every day, not like me. So it's important to remind our hiring managers about that. So what can you do to do that? For me, it's like, I share about my day. Like, I'll sit down, like, if I'm having a Zoom interview, I'll sit down, like, hey, how's it going? Like, what did you do today? And, you know, they ask me, like, oh, cool, I did this, or like, I had such a hard workout, I sweat my ass off. Like, I just kind of really get real to open up the space for them to be real.
That's awesome.
So I'll usually share a story of what I did that day, or some, like, amazing meal I had, or some crazy person on the street I talked to, just to kind of, like, give a personal anecdote, to open the floor, to allow them to give personal anecdotes and allow them to feel at ease, because that's when you get the most out of someone. And unfortunately, this doesn't happen. This doesn't happen in a lot of places because of that professional poise. And that's also could speak to the environment that you're walking into.
Right.
So that, you know, it, but I think even in a professional, very professional, like finance or insurance or some like law, even, like, we're putting up fronts, and there's very much this very business minded way of being, very professional and polished and poised. And so that's, if that's you, perfect. If that's how you want to show up, and if that's what you're expecting and that's what you're looking for, perfect. Practice being that. Do that. Be that way. Be comfortable with that. If that isn't you and you're kind of more down to earth, it's not familiar, it's friendly, right? We don't want to be familiar like we're talking to our best friend in an interview. But if you're more from that kind of friendly approach, or that more informal, I guess you could say,
right?
You know, that's probably what you're looking for of the people that you're talking to, a bit more conversational, a bit more human.
Yeah.
Which I think tech startups generally tend to be.
Yeah.
But even still, I don't think people miss the mark on that. And, you know, interviewing is a skill for our hiring managers, for the people, the candidates.
That's interesting, because I feel like that would really reflect the company's culture, right? Like, if and I almost feel like maybe it's the job of the HR person, or the person doing the interview, to kind of set that tone for the applicant. I don't know. I'm just kind of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah, no, it's a good call out. I mean,
because if the culture is very professional.
But think about this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But think about this. If you're also, some startups don't have HR talent.
That's true. It's like, you know, the CEO.
And so you're dealing with like founders and or like, you know, someone that's a founder, that's the CTO or CEO, and whatever. It can be very different. Mm-hmm. They have no idea of an interview. They have no idea how they're showing up. They're maybe not aware of like that that even matters, or that they're even doing it not so the best. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of showing up, which is kind of, it's one style of doing that. But I think to get the most out of your people, it's to have that structure and to be able to really, really strategic about your interview process and how you show up. And yes, I think, I don't know if it's the, it's the talent person's job. I mean, a great talent person reflects the culture and the values of the company, because essentially you're almost like a salesperson. You're selling them. I mean, I hate to even say sales. I know it sounds bad. Sales isn't a bad thing. Sales is great. But you're kind of selling, you're educating the people about the company. And so if you don't reflect that as the first person that they talk to, you're missing the mark. You know, this is the first interaction this person's going to have with a human. Hopefully it aligns, because the point of the interview is to keep them excited to coming to the next one.
Right.
And also get to know them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would lead to my, like, what's the point of interviewing in terms of like, how can we help people? What are some things to think about interviewing? I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah. 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 Let's get into that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, if we think about interviewing in terms of the human first approach from a candidate perspective, I always say this. Actually, Peter Reek from Smart Savvy, he said this to me, and it always stuck with me, is that your job isn't to get hired. It's not like you're not trying to get married after the first date, right? Like,
yes, like dating. I love that.
Your job, right, is to get to the next date. It's to get to the next interview. It's to learn more. It's to educate the person in front of you on your value. It's to educate them on your expertise. It's to educate them on like how you can contribute to the role, to the company, how you can help the person that you're speaking to help them solve their problems that are in front of them and make their life easier, depending on who you're speaking to. So you're there to educate and to get to know and to explore, because don't you want to learn a little bit more about where you might be spending 8 hours a day for like a while, at least a year and a half, maybe, probably. So, and I think candidates and people are maybe not feeling confident enough or assertive enough to ask the questions, to dig deeper and to show up. It's really important to do that. So I think right off the bat, like framing it up like that takes the pressure off. It's not about getting the job. It's about getting to the next step, and also about learning and sharing and educating. Another one I would say is give examples, right? So you might be with an interviewer that doesn't know how to interview. So how, and you might actually, sometimes what happens, you walk away from an interview and you're like, I didn't talk about myself, or I didn't even share anything that I've done. Like, do they even know what I've done? Then if you feel like it's going that way, you need to be aware and you need to insert some opportunities to share what you've done. So, you know, if there's an opportunity to talk about an example, so it's like, what do you think about this? He's like, oh, actually I have a great example for that. Like, what do you think about, I don't know, whatever the example is. And you say, this is how I've worked with this team. So I set this up. You want to talk a little bit about how, what you've learned. You want to talk about the challenges in that example. You want to talk about what you did that you did so well and you feel really proud of. And you want to talk about what you're not going to do again in the future to show that, like, I'm going to change and be better.
Right.
And so you take a question that's open-ended and you use an example of what you've done in the past to answer that.
Okay. Yeah,
to show and express your value. So that's like general interviewing tips. Mm-hmm. Obviously be on time, be prepared. You're thinking about now you're going to do an interview on Zoom. Don't be afraid to say, well, first of all, I'm wearing glasses, right? Like, I mean, you could see if I was like, let's see. You can't see this.
So speaking of examples, can you give an example?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Like, I'm wearing glasses. And someone asked me a question, all of a sudden I'm moving around and I can see the screen light up with these windows that are opening on this person's reflection of their glasses, that they're not really there anymore. They went somewhere else and they're researching or whatever. And actually that can be fine if you frame it properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, but because I can see it and I don't know, like, is it kosher? I don't know. Like, are you distracted? Or what are you doing right now? Are you answering an email? I'm not sure. So say, hey, oh, good question. I'm just looking something up. Like, just don't be afraid to talk about, like, you know, even before the interview starts, hey, I have my resume on my laptop. I'm also reading some notes. I'm taking notes as we're interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
So tell them that, because you can see when your eyes are shifting on the screen.
Yeah.
It's just something, it's a small thing, but something to keep in mind, because if this is the only opportunity and someone felt like you weren't paying attention, then that sucks, because they're going to remember that.
Right. So coming back to just that transparency and being real, just saying, hey, I have a few, you know, documents up front. Are you okay if I just,
yes,
you know, take some notes? Yeah,
totally. Just call it out. Don't be afraid to call out, you know, those things. It's super okay. I would appreciate that big time. And I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those are some interview tips to think about, and just to relax yourself and to breathe beforehand, and to pause as well. Mm-hmm. There's some real power in taking pause and considering the answer. Like, don't feel rushed to answer the question. If you need more time, tell them. Absolutely okay. Like, let me think about that for a second. Just reflect.
Yeah, I do want to touch on, like, confidence, because I feel like it takes a level of confidence to actually pause and you know, yes, allow the interviewer to kind of wait a little bit. So any tips on, like, how do you build confidence for an interview, or just even in general?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I mean, there's probably a good list of questions that you might be faced with, right? So what I always say to people is just come, think about your CV and what you've done. Look at the job, like, just know your message, know your content, which is like you, what you've done, but like really know it deeply. So when you look about your resume and the things that you're going to get asked about, go through your CV, your resume. So my CV is like European speak. Go through your resume and look at every job that you've had or that you think are relevant, that's relevant, and ask yourself the question, what did I do there? What did I learn?
Right.
Who did I work with? Frame it up, be able to speak to that eloquently, like just get to know your content in your head so it's there and you can pull it out. So that's just being prepared, and that's what's going to help you build confidence, because you're going to feel like it's easier to speak to the things as you can do it off the top of your head without feeling like, oh my God, am I climbing up? Also think about the things that you aren't great at. Think about the things you're so good at. Think about the thing, like the tools you've used. Go through your own hiring, your own career experience, and write it down. Get familiar with that. Because it's all you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all you're talking about. Think about also, I would also suggest this, build confidence. Building confidence is when you feel like you know you're a subject matter expert and you can't be unshaken, right? So get to know the company that you're about to speak to. Do your homework on who you're speaking to.
Right, right.
Find out a little bit more about them. Find out what they've done in the past. Talk about that. That will help you feel prepared. Talk about how you were impressed, you know, with that person. Think about what you are impressed with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so like knowing your subject is really important, and the content, like who you are, is going to help you to build confidence. Doing a dry run,
right?
Listen to yourself, tape yourself. If you really want to get serious about this, like record yourself, listen to how you show up.
Yeah.
Do the work to be better. If you're really serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And be really clear on what you know and what you don't know, and be confident in that and speak to that. And don't be afraid to say you don't know something. The worst thing is like, I don't know, and you can just tell people are fudging their way through an answer. Just say you don't know. It's okay. Mm. We're just trying to find out your parameters, you know?
Right.
As interviewers, We just want to know what you know and what you don't know, and so that we can understand you as a person and where your skill set lies, and you know where you might fit in if you do or not. And if you don't, it's fine as well. I think, you know, we're so concerned about getting the job and we want to say the right thing. There is no right thing. The right thing is what is your experience and what you know. That's the right thing. It's not making up what you think the person wants to hear. We can also hear that. People that know their shit can see that and can feel that, you know? So I think some of those things just come off the top of my head.
That's perfect.
When I think about that.
I feel like this this can perfectly apply to dating as well. Like, know who you are.
Oh my goodness.
Know, right? Yeah, know who, all the interesting facts about who you're dating, and that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think too, like, I know. I mean, for me, I'm about like totally aligning your natural talents. If you can align your natural talents with your values and your personality and how you show up in the world, with an organization or a business or a role that aligns with that, then you're golden. And how do you find that out? Like, you just need to go information hunting and you need to find out more and get to know them. So that's kind of how you build confidence as well, because it's taking the pressure off of you. Like, you're there to interview them as well,
right?
You know, that's why you're there as well. This is a two-way street. So I think knowing that you have the freedom to do that and the permission to do that, yes, that's what you're there to do. And that's what people want to know. They want to feel like you're invested. They want to feel like you're kind of thinking about what it would be like to be there, and you really want to know, and that you're engaged. So, but yeah, it is, you're right. Like, it's very much like dating.
It's a people thing, I guess. Right. Yeah. I do want to ask you, like, what are some common like frustrations or mistakes that you see pretty often in applicants? Like, right off the bat, you're like, okay, I've seen this and it's a no-go.
Yeah. I mean, like, a cover letter that's generic.
Okay. And what would that look like? Would it be like bullet points?
To whom it may concern. No, just to whom may concern.
Okay.
And also, if you get the title wrong, like, if you just, you know, it's just, it's not engaging. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't adding it to your story. Like, I honestly can't stand to whom it may concern. Just because I'm like,
so cordial.
No, like, just write it to someone. Like, write it to someone, do some homework. Show like a name, please. Gosh. What else? I think also application, like, so I think this, like, a lot of the immediate ones come from like job applications. So if I have an application question and I have like NA, or someone puts a dash so that they don't have to write something like really.
Okay.
Write something compelling. do the work, you know? I'm probably just going to like look past you if you don't fill in the application questions.
Okay.
It's really important that you do that and not copy and paste it from somewhere that you read and copy and paste it from the job description, that you're basically using the words from the job description to answer the application question. Like, I really align with fill in the blank, and you just copy paste. No, that's not a good way. That's not getting to know you. Other common mistakes, I mean, being late, but that's just, don't be late, or just own up, be transparent, have integrity. And like, you know, if you can't be on time, be honest about that as well. It goes a long way. Some other frustrations.
What about for like actual interviews? Or are they all different?
Like, I think, I mean, things that like maybe some hiring managers might say, like, I have like a lot of leeway for people. I make a lot of space for like human error. So it's good that I have my hiring managers to keep me in check sometimes, because I'm very empathetic and very like, yeah, it's great. It's a good balance, to be honest. But just like knowing that, when I talked about knowing your audience, if you're talking to a C-level executive of a business, like, think about how they're going to communicate and how they'd probably like to speak, and being more concise, probably being really pointed, like the way that they operate, the way that they think. It's very business minded and very, you know, focusing back to the goals, thinking about the questions you're going to ask. So come to the table prepared to speak to those types of people.
Right.
Just know your audience, really. So that can help frame up the conversation. I mean, I think also actually, yeah, some other mistakes, like being quite, it's hard. I know it's hard, but don't be egotistical, and it's striking the balance between arrogant and confident. And to be honest, I've seen, and also very humble and almost meek. Because you don't want to speak about yourself because you have a hard time selling yourself. So it's finding the balance between those four things. How do you, and really that's, it's just educating your value. That's why I use those terms, because it's not a sales pitch. You're not selling anyone on your potential. You're educating them on your value. So you're not trying to prove anything to anyone. You're not coming out of the bat trying to tell them how, and feed them down their throat why you're so amazing and I did this and I was so fantastic, and using really strong words like I hate, and those just like are very strong things to say in interviews. You want to be careful of like the language you use when you talk about, also just talking about past employers, and you really want to be careful about that as well. So I think, sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I think the arrogant confident is something that you really need to find the balance in. So however, that just finding that balance, I think that's a skill in and of itself, and that, right? Got also it. Not being afraid to use, like finding the balance of using I and we as well. So I have mixed reviews from hiring managers on this, because if you always say we, I'm going to always be wondering, what did you do though? Oh, okay. We did this. Oh, we implemented that and we made this process. And then we did this over here and then we sold that. And then we were able to sell this and we made this. Okay. I'm like, okay, but I still don't know what you did. And I don't know how you impacted that. And I want to know your role and I want to know your process. And where did you fit into that? Like, it's really important to try and get to know you. Like, I want to know how you affected the bottom line. How did you make that better? How did you, you know, talk about the we, show that you're a team player and that you're collaborative, but know when to talk about what you did inside of something, inside of a process or a system or implementation or idea or concept, whatever that is. So that's super important to find the balance in. And, you know, actually candidates, I've had to pass on them because they didn't have a sense of confidence in themselves. I was like, man, you're going to get eaten up here. We don't have time for that. Just, we don't have the resources to kind of baby someone along, and help them find their confidence. It's just that our environment, it's not set up for that. There's no hiding in a startup, right?
Yeah.
There's no hiding. Your impact is felt, whether it's negative or positive. You can't hide. So we can't take a chance on someone that isn't feeling, that comes out and you're not really sure. You're not sure how you fit in your other role. And it's just, I'm like, I'm sorry, but no. Like, and I've had to give that feedback before, because it just wouldn't be setting them up for success either.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to try to summarize all the amazing advice that you shared.
Yes.
I think, you know, really at the end of the day, it's being a good human being real, spending the time to really know your strengths, your weaknesses, being okay to not know. And then also when you show up in the interview, just striking that balance of not bragging about all your talents and stuff, not, you know, having a peacock show, but at the same time not be too humble that you're barely, like, you do kind of want to quote unquote sell yourself, right? But do it in a way that's human and it's real. I think that's what I've gathered so far.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's very much around the human experience,
right?
And the person. And I think the beautiful thing about startups in tech, especially, well, startups in general, mm-hmm. is that it is very values and culture driven often, mm. because it starts with this great idea and this purpose, and we're gonna, you know, someone's really excited about this. There's a lot of fire and energy around that. So it often does become quite humble and or human, and there's a lot of, you know, your impact is really felt there. And it is very much about that, about being real and showing up and having accountability. Exactly. That's that transparency and saying you don't know something and being held accountable and not having an ego about it. Super powerful, will get you very far. And you'll learn so much because you'll get out of your own way. And the feedback will fuel you to be better.
Right. That's awesome. So that's a perfect transition to share a little bit about, I know you started the spaceishere.com.
Yes.
It's a, yes. your little, passion project that you started recently. Yes. I was wondering if you can, yeah, tell a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Basically, you know, I was thinking about this, helping my friends a lot with, you know, whether that's resume writing, you know, helping them, prepare copy or like emails even for, you know, post interviews, before interviews, writing LinkedIn emails, reach outs, helping them get their resume aligned. I was like, man, I really like this. And I really felt, especially during these times right now, there's just a big need to help people and support people and to help them feel that confident and help them practice and be prepared to show up as best they can as themselves and to feel confident about them. Because, you know, I started the spaceishere.com to as a way to help people land a job that they really love, land a job that aligns with who they are, their values, and also feel confident about when they put themselves out there that it's gonna be seen by the right people. People are going to spend more time looking at the resume, that they're going to feel engaged during the interview process, that their LinkedIn profile is like on point and makes sense. But I think what really drives that is just coming back to being like my values and really wanting to work with people who are looking to build connection and to be a little bit more conscious about who they are and feel and really wake up and how the whole self comes to work and understanding how that fits into, you know, the job hunting process and the interview process and feeling confident about that and understanding that, like, this is you on paper. You're a beautiful person as you are, as you come every day, as you show up. So just helping people along that journey to feel like okay about it if it doesn't go the right way, or if it does, fantastic, let's celebrate. But really just helping them along that path and that journey and finding a job that they really love. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds like, so there's a little bit of a coaching element to that process too, and helping them discover their values. Yeah.
Absolutely. That piece, it's interesting. I'm working with a life coach. I have been for the last two and a half months. And actually this is from Sphere Guide, which is a product that Neon developed, which is so awesome. And it's basically about democratizing coaching. A lot of life coaching is for the executive level. And a lot of times we miss out on that because it's expensive, or it's just not geared towards, you know, us people down here,
right.
at the executive level.
Wow.
And so I've been working with an amazing life coach, Kieran Chaffett, and what a blessing. And just really unpacking that and helping me get unstuck. And okay. I was like, man, I feel so energized by this. I can apply some of the things that I've learned and really apply this into the space and helping other people get unstuck and getting out of their own way, especially with like helping them for their job as well and finding that job that they love. And realizing that really fuels me and drives me and gets me up in the morning. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty fresh with Collab Collective, but we are planning like workshops down the road. I know we've kind of talked about maybe you having, being a guest and maybe sharing that experience. We'd love that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of stuff to unpack and to go through and to touch on, even like understanding what you know, what's someone like on the inside, like a recruiter, like even how do I find people online? How do I find you if you're looking for a job and I'm looking for someone with your skill set? Do you even show up in a search? Like, so even showing them people about that and how LinkedIn can really help. It's the number one tool that people use to find people. It's also about building relationships.
Yes.
People. Relationships. I need to teach you how to do that. Value there. It's very powerful.
That's great. I think I would love to chat more, but our time is up. Is there anything else yes. you'd like to share before we wrap up?
No, but I really want to say thank you. I really love what the Collab Collective is here for. I'm super happy to be a part of this collective and to add value and contribute in any way that I can. I think that what you guys are doing is so important. And I just, yeah, I really want to say thanks for the opportunity to share some of the things that I've learned along the way. And yeah, it's been a blessing.
Wow. Thank you so much. We're glad to have met you, and we hope to to support you through your journey as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Touche.
Great.
You so much. Thanks, Josh.
So if you would like to get involved or find out more about or get in touch with Julie to sharpen up your skills and be in touch with your values and who you are and be more holistic person, check out thespaceishere.com and we'll link all the information in the description as well. So if you like this podcast, please give us a 5 out of 5 on whatever platform you have. Yeah. And we hope that you enjoyed this chat. So we'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye.